You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Monday, March the 11th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and as is our custom on Mondays, we like to look at the readings for the coming Sunday, which is the fifth Sunday in Lent, as we move closer and closer to Easter. That fifth Sunday is on March the 17th. Readings are from Jeremiah 31, Hebrews 5, and Mark 10. So we're looking forward to taking a look at these readings and what do they have to say to us. They have to say an awful lot, actually, because everything in the Bible is about Jesus Christ, Jesus and our salvation. Now, if I were to ask you this question, what passages in the Bible come to mind if I talk about the new covenant? Now, most people will realize that the word covenant can also be translated as testament. In fact, when someone dies, they leave their last will and covenant or last will and testament. So where do you think in the Bible the new covenant is talked about? I would say that most Christians would believe that it's talked about in the New Testament. Now, we make a distinction between the books of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we say that the New Testament is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. But is there any specific passage in the Old Testament that talks about a new covenant? I want you to listen to this verse. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." Now, that is not found in the New Testament. That's actually a passage from Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning with verse 31. Not only does it talk about a new covenant, but it talks about it in the books of the Old Testament. Now, as soon as you hear that statement, that God's going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, you want to think about, well, what's the old covenant? If this is a new covenant, there has to be an old one. It's like your parents tell you that we're going to be moving to a new house. Well, you pretty well have guessed what the old house is. It's the house you're now living in. Similarly, when God talks about a new covenant, that means there was an old covenant. This is Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning with verse 31. Verse 32 begins to explain the difference. "Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt." Now, when you think that they came out of the land of Egypt and they went to Mount Sinai, What was the new covenant? Or what shall I say was the old covenant that God is speaking of? He says, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days. So what was the first covenant? He says, my covenant that they broke, though I was with their as their husband, declares the Lord. Now, it doesn't take too much of a thinking to understand what covenant that the people were breaking, even though God was still a faithful God and a husband to them. It was a covenant that came down from Mount Sinai. It was the covenant of the Ten Commandments. Now, this is very important that we understand how this was considered by God to be a covenant. He gave them Ten Commandments, and he said to them, obey these commandments, and you will be going to heaven. But as we look at every one of the commandments, it does not take us long before we figure out that the nation of Israel and Judah did not follow those commandments. They broke them. In fact, there are two parts of those commandments that we talked about two Mondays ago. The one part is how you break the commandment. So in the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods, you break it by having another god. And what does it mean to have another God? It means to fear, trust, and love an idol. And we do that all the time. In fact, the old Adam, when it sins, is sinning against the old covenant by breaking every one of the commandments. Now, the other part of the commandment is what you should do to obey the commandment. And that is clearly taught also. In fact, let's just take one example. Honor your father and mother. Well, we know what it means not to obey that commandment. It means to disobey and rebel against your parents. But we also know what it means to obey that commandment, to love and honor them, and recognize that they are the ones that God has placed over us, to watch over us, to take care of us. Therefore, we receive that old covenant of how we could be saved if we would obey the commandments perfectly. But we soon found out that it is impossible to obey the commandments perfectly. For one very simple reason, is God does not just examine the deeds we do or the words we say or the thoughts we have. Behind all of them, a perfect commandment has to have the proper motivation. And there is no message in the Ten Commandments about Jesus Christ. Now, the Ten Commandments do begin, I am the Lord your God. And I can prove this to you. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, when you recognize what I have done for you, you will have no other gods before me. That's how to understand the Ten Commandments. It first takes a recognition of what God has done for us. For us while we were still sinners. For us while we were still enemies of God, having other idols. It was impossible for us to obey the Ten Commandments as God so commanded, because we did not have the proper motivation. What is the proper motivation in obeying the Ten Commandments? The proper motivation is to believe that Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, is our Savior. And yet, there was no message of the cross, the resurrection, or the exaltation in the giving of the Ten Commandments. It was just an agreement that God made with you. Obey my Ten Commandments. Obey them perfectly, and heaven will be their home. That is the essence of the first commandment. Or shall we say, of the old covenant. And that's why, way back in Jeremiah chapter 31, God promises that the days are coming when he will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And it won't be like the covenant of the commandments, which they broke, even though God was their husband, declares the Lord. Now, how can we explain the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant? Well, here's the deal. I give you every good thing you could possibly want or need. I love you. I care for you. I watch over you. Now, what do you do on your part? You, in turn, call me names. Leave me out of all your activities and plans. Act as if I don't matter. Then I, in turn, take all the mean things you have done to me, let you slap me around, and I love you some more. Oh, and I forget all about what you did to me. And I instead give you every good thing you could possibly want again forever. That's the difference between the old covenant, where I would stand in anger towards you and try and get even with you, in contrast to the new covenant, where I would instead continue to love you, be on your side, and give you whatever you want. Now that sounds like a sweet deal. It is. And in Christianity, it's the real deal. The new covenant God made with us when Jesus let us human beings insult him, slap him around, and kill him on the cross. But then enjoy how God responds. As we trust in the words of the promises of Jesus Christ, God turns around, does not get even with us, is no longer angry with us, but he totally reconciles with us. That's unheard of in the normal understanding of how human beings respond to one another. In verse 33 of the Old Testament book of Jeremiah 31, God explains even more. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. Now, after what days? After the days when we slap Jesus around, when we make fun of him, when we have other idols, when we kill him on the cross. After those days, what will God do? God declares, and this is right in Jeremiah 31, verse 32, 33, and 34. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant? Under the Old Covenant, you hear the commandments of God, but it's up to you to follow them. But under the New Covenant, God writes them in your hearts. What is that talking about? It reminds us of one of the Psalms of King David. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. God answers that prayer by using the Holy Spirit to create faith in an unbeliever, in a wicked person, in a sinner. That's the message of the Christian faith, that God gives you a heart that obeys the law. It's written on your hearts. And in that way, God is your God and you are his people. This is really important to understand, that under the Old Covenant, the first thing that has to happen is you must be obedient. Then if you're obedient, then you are saved. But it is clear that nobody can be obedient to the law in their sinful self. They need to get a new heart. They need to have a right mind. They need to be able to do the commandments from their heart spontaneously. And that's why the message of John the Baptizer is so important. Repent. Because that shows that we have a heart that recognizes our sinful nature. And the more we realize how much Jesus did for us in being incarnated, in being crucified, in being resurrected, and then being exalted, we begin to understand the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. One can say the old covenant is all up to you as you attempt to merit your salvation. In contrast to the new covenant, which is all up to God, through which you inherit your salvation. You don't earn it, you inherit it. Verse 34 continues, "And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor, and each his neighbor, saying, Know the Lord." Now, how did the old covenant teach that? It taught it by attempting to get you to obey the Lord. That's how you would know the Lord. And as you obeyed the Lord and obeyed his commandments, that would be the old covenant at work, which never works for salvation. Oh, you may occasionally obey the outward parts of the law, but you'll do it for a selfish reason. You won't do it with the right motivation. You won't do it because you love Jesus Christ for what he has done for you. You do it because you want to know what's in it for me. What am I going to get? And so you will not need to teach one another about knowing the Lord by obeying the commandments. But the verse goes on, "For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord." Now, when did that happen in your life? When you suddenly did know the Lord? It happened through the means of grace. You see, the commandments were a means of justice, where you get what you deserve. But the gospel, the new covenant, is a means of grace, where you do not get what you deserve. And that's what it means to know the Lord. You know him as the one who died so that you will never really die, and who lives so that you will live eternally. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he bought that for you by dying on the cross, rising from the dead, and ascending into heaven. Then the final verse of Jeremiah 31, verse 34, really hits the nail on the head, because it explains what the gospel is. God says, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." What does that mean to you? Do you want God to remember your sin? No, you don't. Because that would mean on the day of judgment, he does not remember the works of Jesus Christ. He remembers instead your works, and therefore you are sent to hell. In other words, while the new covenant can also be spoken of as the New Testament, and there are a number of books in the New Testament, the New Testament and New Covenant is also spoken of many a time in the Old Testament books, beginning with the promise that Adam and Eve heard God give to the serpent, that through the seed of Eve would come a redeemer. Of course, it took centuries for the Redeemer to be born of the Virgin Mary. But that was the fulfillment of the new covenant. And that new covenant is for every person who trusts in Jesus as their Savior. Join with us tomorrow as we take a look at a hymn dealing with this new covenant. My song is Love Unknown. Until tomorrow at 9:30, God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.